Hello, I'm Scott Sauchin.
I'm Evan Novy Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we
again, no Evan participation.
Explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Close enough.
We should start shunning him.
No, we can never do that.
He wants no part of it.
What happened to your man bun?
Patrick Rafter look is gone.
A little early. Now that the Australian
Open. In honor of the Australian Open, yes. In honor of Jessica being back from Australia. Thank you. That's the only.
Hi, Jessica.
What are we beginning with?
We're going to begin with Kyler Murray. Now, we haven't seen this a lot since, Bo Jackson and, the dual athlete in two major sports.
How old are we? You're saying Bo Jackson, and I'm saying Danny Ainge. Russell Wilson does it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to go to spring training with the Yankees again.
We'll see.
We'll see. He's got to go. He'll go to spring training with the Yankees. Got to stay in shape somehow.
Listen, should he go to the A's or should he, as he said, thinks he can play quarterback in the NFL?
I've always felt like I could play in the NFL. I mean, I'm a confident guy. There's not a lot of short quarterbacks in the league, but, I think there's more guys paving the way for, the transition of, not really caring how big you are, how tall you are. But for me, yeah, I mean, I've played this game my whole life, and I've always felt like I could do it.
Oakland A's or the NFL?
See, I think you need a broader question. It's football or baseball. Broader question. If I'm looking at the contracts in the two sports and the risks of participating in said sports, Eben, baseball greater than football.
Certainly from a risk standpoint, yeah. From an early contract standpoint, football makes a lot more sense. If all he cares about, and obviously we don't know the inner workings of Kyler Murray and which sport he prefers. If all he cares about is money, he is going to make more money being
faster.
A first-round draft pick faster in the NFL than he is in Major League Baseball. If he ends up being a pretty decent player, long-term career in both, you can make the argument that baseball makes more sense. So really, to me, it depends on how much does he value money versus how much does he care about which of the two sports he'd rather do with the rest of his life.
Well, apparently Billy Beane and the rest of the Athletics are sort of meeting with him today, trying to convince him to pick baseball. We'd like to have you. But he's got to declare today for the draft, the NFL draft.
It's fascinating what kind of the way that baseball now is trying to, Kyler Murray is known by a lot of people now. He would be, a pretty well-known face in this rookie class in baseball. They're going out of their way from what's been reported. MLB had a marketing executive fly in to talk to him while he was meeting with the A's. He got that $4.7 million signing bonus as part of the Major League Baseball draft last year. There's talk of maybe bending Major League Baseball's rules so that the A's can offer him even more to stay. It seems pretty clear that there is a recruiting war going on right now where baseball is trying to swing the tide back from football.
In the end, doesn't it really come back to what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So it's all of that to me, it's kind of irrelevant. He's got a good payday either way.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do, buddy? You want to play baseball? You want to play football?
And let's not forget that, when he was taken, I think, of the ninth pick overall in the baseball draft, the A's let him play football.
Yeah.
He wanted to do it. He mm-hmm. certainly had leverage in that situation, but they paid him the money. He made almost more than his head coach last year at Oklahoma. They paid him the money and let him play. Obviously, there were risks involved in that. It certainly seems as though they had a tremendous year, obviously. They made the playoff. He seems to be more, you heard the soundbite right there, he seems to be more into football now after having a great year, Heisman Trophy, et cetera, than maybe he was a year ago when it was just like, I'd like to play one more season of football before I hang up those cleats and get the glove out.
But now let's bring up something else, and there is a height issue. How tall is he, 5'9"?
Listed at 5'10", which in my experience means he's 5'8". But again, if you can play, you can play. And he's talked about others who've paved the way, and I assume he's talking about the Drew Breeses of the world. Because most of the others are pretty big. Tom Brady's 6'4".
And from a style standpoint, he's highly mobile. I would imagine what Lamar Jackson did in Baltimore this year, getting the Ravens to the playoffs, is the kind of thing that other NFL executives look at and say, oh, Kyler Murray can maybe do that for me. So no question, if he gets picked, pick a random late first round pick. If he gets picked 20th in the draft, he's going to sign a $12 million contract NFL-wise. It would take him a lot longer within the baseball system to make $12 million. So I think if money is an issue, the NFL makes more sense. But, obviously it's about what he wants to do.
Well, can he get $15 million from the A's?
We've seen sort of denial.
So that's certainly possible.
The A's were
that
he never really asked for a dollar figure, even though there was a report out there he asked for $15 million. I mean, who knows what he did and did not ask for.
But if baseball is going to let the A's sign him to a bigger deal right now,
it'll
which
help.
Would be bending the rules, yeah. That might help swing a little bit of the financial conversation for sure.
I mean, I'm not knocking baseball at all, but football, man, that's a punishing sport. Your life expectancy in the career-wise is much shorter
not if
in
you're
football
get hurt when you're
than
get
in
get
baseball.
Hurt.
Yeah.
But, Barr, I will tell you
I think
this.
It's less so for quarterbacks, though, right? I mean, I can't really think of a big-name quarterback whose career ended when he was young because of an injury. It seems like the retread rate of NFL quarterbacks, as long as you can stand in there and you can throw.
But you saw Alex Smith this year, Tom Brady had the torn ACL.
Alex Smith is 30 what, right?
I mean,
he's been injured a number of times.
But the type
of
injury could have happened to any, you know, that just happened to be Alex
Smith. It certainly could,
Well, there is Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is actually a good example.
Leave it to you to come with a good example, Michael.
Who's still, I mean, he's still,
nice job.
Teddy Bridgewater is still cashing checks, right? I mean, RG3 had some terrible injuries. He's not the player he was, but RG3 is still on an NFL roster collecting a large NFL paycheck.
There you go. That's going to make up my mind for me. Which team am I going to, and what's the offensive line look like? I mean, that should really, like, wait a minute. Am I going to get punished, or do I have a really good offensive line?
Unfortunately, you can't make that choice.
No, but you know what you're working with. Yeah. You know where you're going.
Speaking of the NFL, oh my, we got the Final Four, AFC Championship, NFC Championship coming up this weekend. The Chiefs will host the Patriots while the Rams will play the Saints.
Didn't the Chiefs-Patriots regular season game do a monster number?
The Chiefs-Rams regular season
Rams,
game.
Yeah. It was like 51-something or other.
Yeah, Sunday or Monday night, they both scored a ton of points.
It's playoffs, it's Brady. What? I mean, boy, you got the face of the league, the future face of the league. I got Mahomes throwing from, like, forget sidearm, he's got underarm,
submarine
behind the back.
He was slinging stuff that was sidearm, and I know people are saying it's like, all right, calm down. But there was some sidearm stuff that Patrick Mahomes was throwing.
People are saying, you know me, I am the biggest naysayer in the world, saying this stuff is boring, I cannot sit there for whatever. I will watch this guy because I'm like, oh, that was great. I mean, that's what you need out of people. It's entertainment. He is an entertaining player. They don't have a ton of them. I'm sorry. They don't. He's one of them. He is the future of the NFL.
Also, if you follow the idea that NFL fans, certainly casual NFL fans, prefer offense to defense, this is a perfect four teams to have. Statistically, I think four of the worst
defenses
we've seen.
Get on your computer. Give me the over-under.
We've seen at this
point.
Come on,
give me the over-under.
Over-under for Rams stands.
Look at him. He's got it already.
57.
Is that the first half of the full game?
Full game. Yes. Over-under for Patriots-Chiefs, 57.5.
Okay.
Right? So combine those two things. That's 114.5 points. That's the largest combined over-under in at least 30 years.
Look at that.
For
added
the,
value
the
by
conference championship games. So bad defenses, great offenses. That usually means a large viewership number in a year where the NFL has kind of rebounded from what was a tough year and a half stretch.
And I caught something with Belichick the other day. They were up big, and he went for it on fourth down, and then he finally kicked the field. I'm wondering, when is everybody going to catch up? Because he's right. If you look at the analytics, it told you there, go for it on fourth down. Now you kick, like, dissuades the field goal every now and then, but go for it on fourth. I love what
the Chiefs,
does.
I believe, went for it on fourth down three times in the first half.
Good. That's what you want to win. That's what you do.
The Saints had a big fake punt deep in their own zone.
I'll always go back to Sean Payton when they won
onside
the Super
kick.
Bowl, the onside kick to open the second half.
I remember that.
I was covering that game, and I was just like, all right, they're going to win. Like, that was it right there. Like, they're going to win this game. Sure enough.
By the way, worth mentioning, it didn't happen, obviously, because the Chargers lost, but there were reports out there that the NFL was considering, if they ended up with two conference championship games in L.A., potentially moving one. It's the kind of story that, you know, didn't happen, obviously, but if you think more about it from a gambling standpoint, these are the kind of stories that I think the NFL really needs to think about as they get more into legalized gambling, right? The idea that if you were to gamble on the Chargers making the Super Bowl, for example, they get a home game for the conference championship, and suddenly it gets moved out of L.A. because the Rams also have a home game.
Right.
There's little things like that that I think are going to become bigger stories moving forward as sports gambling becomes a bigger and bigger part of the landscape.
Let's move to the NHL, and instead of upper body injury, this is upper body placement. The league, they're going to put shoulder pad chips on the players.
That was off the cuff.
That was off the cuff. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to check if he planned that.
That was off the cuff.
Back in October when the NHL signed its sports betting partnership with MGM, part of that deal was about access to a new data set that didn't exist yet in the NHL. And last week, for the first time, the NHL debuted that data set. And much like it is in the NFL, where players wear RFID chips in their shoulder pads, NHL players during two games in Las Vegas last week were wearing chips within their shoulder pads, and the puck itself was connected. And what that lets the NFL do is have a holistic data set of where every player is and where the puck is at all times during a game. And you can see applications in that through fan consumption. You can create an AR or VR version of the ice where fans
you're
can
watch.
You're
talking my world, buddy. You know my son. Santa brought a, Oculus
right?
Go. Okay. Santa brought the Oculus Go. And I was actually surprised,
like
though. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
He'll just sit there forever. Yeah. It's really cool. But for sports right now, there's only one. There was one NHL team, the San Jose Sharks, who have a VR app there. That's it. Just one. And it's cool. Like, his buddy Dax was watching. He's like, and his father was on the phone. He's like, I love it. I'm in the Sharks locker room.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the day where I can sit and watch a hockey game with the Oculus from the goaltender's perspective. I'm in.
Like, that's happening
or
now.
Or the quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I'm in.
One of these companies in Vegas last week working with the NHL, a company called Beyond Sports, they create with this data set an entire VR experience.
Yeah.
And the result of that is exactly what you said. You can choose to watch from any vantage point.
Yep.
You know, and you get these things that what looks like a soft goal in hockey, when you look at it from the goalie's vantage point, suddenly you realize it went through two skates.
I never saw
underneath
it.
Underneath a stick, under the
it.
Arm,
yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, the goalie literally never even, he didn't even know the puck was shot until it was in the net.
Until the horn's going off and they're high-fiving in front of him.
The other major, obviously, application for this data set, as we said with MGM, is gambling. Genius Sports out of London, they built the in-game version of what this might look like from a gambling perspective. It's everything from how far will Max Pacioretty skate this game over under 3 miles.
That would be former Montreal Canadiens captain, American Connecticut native Max Pacioretty.
Yeah, how hard will Shea Weber's pass his shot
be? Very hard. Yes.
All these different things. Gives you a glimpse of, you know, the second screen gambling, in-game gambling.
You know, I was asked to beta test the LA Clippers app.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a little while to get used to. One, you could pick the vantage point. I'm watching on my phone, by the way.
That's VR?
Right. No. Just different angles. Okay. But the coolest part, and it took a little while to get used to, so you're watching the broadcast, of course, on a smaller screen, but above each player's head is the shooting percentage should they take the shot from where they're standing. So it's sort of like, as the player moves, everything's being recalculated. The percentages are changing over their heads as they're moving. And you're like, get it to the guy at 89. You know, why did the guy from 42
green?
Right,
he's green.
32%. The guy down there is 94. What are you doing? It took some time to get used to. And they asked for feedback as well, but this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be Big Bar sitting in front of the big screen with the chips.
You know,
I mean, you'll have the chips, but it's just.
I mean, he'll have that option, right?
Yeah.
We talk about this on the show all the time. The idea that in the future you can choose how data laden you want your broadcast to be, right? If you want the speed of every player on top of their head when you're watching an NHL broadcast, or if you want the shooting percentage from that exact spot for every player on the floor in the NBA, that's going to be an option for you. And if you want the traditional nothing else but a score, the time left, and standard announcers, that's also going to be an option. There's going to be some fun ramifications for exclusive broadcast rights, too. Once the data becomes big enough that you can recreate roughly in a digital version what's happening on the field.
Do you need the players? That's what I've said forever.
Well, one, it makes you wonder if you need the players. And two,
we are tippy-toeing to the world where they may not need players.
It also makes you wonder if someone could just recreate digitally what's happening live on the field in real time. And suddenly the exclusive contract.
Filling a stadium that the players aren't there, watching the game
exactly.
In a filled stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But the players, the game's going on somewhere else.
Yeah, you can just set up a VR aspect there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jonathan. See, nobody got it.
No.
You didn't get it?
No.
What was the movie, man, with the – oh, my gosh.
You didn't get it either.
No, it was –
your thing.
Rollerball, man. That's what – remember Rollerball?
No.
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
This is where you wrap.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast.
Wait a minute. Why is there no Colin Tippin? Where are the crickets? Where are the crickets? I get the crickets. How does that not get crickets?
I've gotten crickets all the time, man. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick and Evan Novy Williams.
We are here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with the biggest and brightest in the sports business industry.
Jonathan, you're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online where you get your podcasts.